Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try! Oh! Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. Yeah. For Bryden's lawyers protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go! Triple M rocks the footy. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And a very good afternoon if you've just joined us right across the Triple M network through North Queensland into the beautiful city of Brisbane, down onto the Gold Coast, right up and down New South Wales, wherever you might be. We do it thanks to Bryden's. The legal landscape can be confusing. See if you have a claim. Ask the question, ask the experts. Brydens.com.au. Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, Anthony Maroon, live at Allianz Stadium. And of course, yesterday, we had wins to Penrith over Manly. We had wins to Melbourne over Parramatta. And, of course, congratulations, too, to the Sydney Swans, who beat Essendon, almost doubled their score yesterday at the SCG. I went and had a look at the first couple
of quarters. Go the mighty Bloods.
They were right, the Swannies. They were right on. So, good Sydney team.
I love them.
Then, of course, this afternoon,
like Manly supporters.
4 o'clock, Sharks and Eels, 4 o'clock this afternoon. Dan will call that one for you. Boys, we haven't discussed the
Well, they're not rusted on. Max, the producer, when I said they're like Manly supporters,
right.
He was. So, well, they're not really rusted on, you know.
All right, well, let's just try.
When their team starts losing, they just jump off shit.
I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm talking about the football.
Bronco. I was talking about football, Anthony.
Anthony, Dan. We've got Robbie Kearns from Melbourne Storm coming up very shortly, so just while we do, we will come back and talk more about the Roosters-Broncos game on Friday night. I thought the Broncos, when Corey Oates scored that try, I thought the Broncos are going to win this game, but then we saw some Latrell Mitchell to wrap it up for the Roosters. But look, we're going to get to that because Robbie Kearns is on the line, and Robbie Kearns is a man who played almost 200 games for the Melbourne Storm. He's a Melbourne Storm original who joined the club in 1998, and he's on the line right now. Rugby League royalty, if you don't mind. Robbie Kearns, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Fantastic, mate. I talk about you being a part of the original Melbourne Storm outfit. The amazing thing that I always thought with the Storm was that it only took them a couple of seasons and they'd won the premiership. You were part of that, but, you know, the juggernaut never ended. They are always competitive. They are always... Culturally, they're a great club, and we look at a couple of players in there who will become immortals. It must be a proud moment for you to be a part of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a bit of a function yesterday pre-game, and I had the likes of Steve Kearney, Greg Inglis, Matty Guy, Danny Williams all on board, and it's been a fantastic ride for Melbourne Storm. We've been obviously very successful for a long period of time, just sustained success, and it all started with Chris Anderson back in the day in 1998 with the likes of Tuira Nicow and Glenn Lazarus. But obviously, since Craig Bellamy's taken over 15 years ago, it's pretty much been plain sailing ever since with the likes of the Big Three. And they keep getting better despite their age. But it's a wonderful club, and I'm very privileged to be a part of it.
Robbie, what is it about the Melbourne Storm? I know when I was in Brisbane, it was, and we'd painted, us versus them and, Sydney and all this kind of stuff. Is that what the Melbourne Storm do? Is that part of their ethos that gets so much success?
Yeah, I feel at times, Gordon, I feel at times we don't get a fair run from the NRL in different areas. But, Craig Bellamy, mate, you know him very well, and he's a very, very simple guy with simple values. And, some of the sort of values that he wants from his boys is pretty much the way he lives his life. It's, respect and work ethic and humility, and it's taken the club a long way, especially in his 15 years as head coach. I mean, I think the lowest we've finished, nothing below the top six apart from that 2010 year with the salary cap issue. But, we're down here, we're away from the limelight a little bit, Gordon, so it helps in a way that the likes of Billy, Cameron and Cooper can walk the streets without getting absolutely harassed. I mean, we had JT down here last night, and he was an absolute rock star. Everyone wanted a piece of JT, but the other boys just got away scot-free. So it's very interesting here in Melbourne, rugby league circles, and those guys are absolute superstars. But like I said, mate, it's a fantastic club, and one I'm very privileged to be part of.
So just on that, obviously up in Brisbane, because there's some big AFL players that have played for the Brisbane Lions, so So Cameron can walk the streets and no one really, really know him? Or does he have the respect down there what he has in our game?
I reckon, Gordon, it's a little bit of both. I mean, people walk past him and go, because he doesn't look like a footballer, right? We all know that. We all know he looks like an accountant, a hairy accountant. And, mate, he walks the streets and people, I can see people walk past him and go, I've seen that face before. Where have I seen that face? But because he's not a big guy, he's just, he's pretty small, if anything. But again, it's a little bit of respect too. That man on their AFL down here, Gordon, as you'd know, all those guys, whether you're the top player in your club or you're number 25 on the list, you're all sort of put up on a bit of a pedestal. Whereas Melbourne Storm boys, rugby league, and it stems from Craig Bellamy. That's one value he really pushes onto the boys, whether you're Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, or Cooper Cronk, or the youngest guy on the list. It's if you've got an ego, leave it at the front door and pick it up on the way out. So no one's bigger than anyone else, and the likes of those big three that can walk the streets without getting too harassed, because I don't think they're bigger and better than anyone else within the club.
Robbie, Paul Kent here. How did Melbourne internally celebrate Cameron Smith's record this week?
Yeah, no, we've had a couple of functions this week, Kenny. It's been a pretty big week, actually, and I spoke to Cameron after the game last week, and he's actually very, very thankful the week's over. He just said it was just like a little bit too much hoo-ha, and so it should have been. I mean, he's taken over the great Darren Lockyer's all-time games record holder, so it should have been a big thing, and it was. We had a couple of presentations throughout the week. The whole club got on board. Darren Lockyer came down and did a presentation on Tuesday. We had a big luncheon. But Cameron himself, as we all know, he's a mild-mannered fella. He's very composed, and I think all that got to him a little bit. And I was even talking to his wife, Barb, after the game yesterday, and she said it's the first time I could really see him really feeling the pressure of a game of football, which is unbelievable.
Extraordinary, really. Yeah.
He's played for Australia, New South Wales, I wish. Australia.
Don't go that far, Robbie.
Australia, Queensland in premiership. So for him to sort of get a little bit, I suppose, feeling a little bit of pressure for this game was, it says a lot about Cameron Smith, I dare say.
Guernsey, Gerds, how are you, brother?
Good champion. Yourself?
Mate, I just want to ask, obviously the next couple of years are pretty crucial for your club down there. You're going to have Billy potentially walking away. We don't know what he's going to do. It looks like he'll play next year. Cooper's gone at the end of the year. Then Cameron Smith's not too far away. How important is it that we, you guys are successful when these guys move on, just for the way that you guys are obviously working so hard in Melbourne on your brand?
Yes.
Would you like to see them stay involved in some capacity?
Yeah, you'd be silly not to think that the club wouldn't sort of reach out and say, hey guys, they've played a massive role in not only making the Melbourne Storm the team or the club what we are, but also rugby league here in Victoria. So those three guys will have some sort of role post-football within the club, I would think. They've played major roles, and I think it's only natural. If they're going to give Robbie Kearns a job, surely they can give those three guys a job.
You get nervous was my next question.
I'm just waiting for the tap on the shoulder, boys, but it hasn't come as yet. So I'm just telling them boys to play on it for as long as they can. But it's funny. I mean, life after football, everyone was kept talking about life after football after the big three move on, and it was looking grim in the sense that, everyone's going, what's Melbourne Storm going to do? But, we've unearthed a couple of young kids coming through, young Brody Crofts, who I'm sure Gordon's kept his eye on, a young Queenslander halfback. He played the other week against Newcastle and scored a hat-trick. We've got another young kid, young New Zealander called Brendan Smith. No doubt he'll take over the reins from Cameron when he retires in about 15 years' time. And another bloke by the name of, he's made a bit of a name for himself in the last couple of years, young Cameron Munster. So, I mean, at the moment he's playing 5-8, but I think he's a natural fullback. And we've got Jerome Hughes. We've got a list of guys coming through that will be able to, they won't be able to fill the shoes. No one will be able to fill the shoes of those three guys, but they'll definitely make an impact when they get the opportunity to pull on the purple jersey.
Who you got coming in for Craig Bellamy when that succession plan needs to be activated?
Yeah, well,
that's the big one, isn't it?
He's one of a kind, mate. He's an absolute superstar. I'm not too sure how well you guys know him. I know Gordon knows him very, very well, but he's just a champion fella, and obviously has a wonderful record with the coaching. And like I said, mate, he's a simple bloke with simple values, but he has a real relationship with all his players. You know, again, similar to the big three, no one's ever going to be able to fill the shoes of Craig Bellamy once he moves on. But obviously with coaching, it's not like playing. You can actually, you know, go on a bit longer. I'm not really sure how much longer Craig wants to go on. But similar to the big three, I would think the club would sort of hold him, you know, employ him in some sort of role, whether it be, you know, director of coaching or whatever it might be, because he's just too valuable to this club. He's too valuable to rugby league here in Victoria. And, yeah, I mean, we've got some young guys coming through. Jason Rolls is making a real fist of it. He's doing a fantastic job as an assistant coach, most probably overlooking the forwards. And a young Adam O'Brien, who's been at the club for, I think Adam's been there for almost 9 or 10 years now. Brett Arthur actually got him there, did a little bit of work with him up the coast in Cairns. And, mate, he's going to make a very, very good coach. Obviously, hasn't got the profile. You know, when I say profile, hasn't played first grade football, but very, very, you know, he's a great coach, and I have no doubt in time he'll get a crack at first grade, whether it's Melbourne Storm or another club, I'm not too sure, but it all depends on whether Craig Bellamy wants to continue on coaching or not.
Hey, Robbie, what about the Cameron Smith It's Time, the statue at Amy Park for Cameron Smith? I think everybody involved in rugby league loves this idea. How Melbourne is embracing it, mate, and do you think it'll happen?
Yeah, I truly believe it will. I think, you know, we all know, you guys have been down here a fair bit, that precinct, as they call it, with the MCG over one side, Rod Laver there, Margaret Court Arena, Hisense, and now Amy Park. I mean, there's just statues up everywhere of super greats of Australian sport. Obviously DK Lilly, you know, Lee Matthews, the list goes on. So you would think in time, if anyone's going to get a statue, it'd be the great Cameron Smith. I mean, he's, as we know, guys, he's basically smashed every record available, and I reckon he's got another 3 or 4 years left in him the way he's playing. You know, he's in outstanding form currently. He may well go on to win his second Dally M at the age of 34, which is unheard of. So, I mean, he's done it all. He's been a fantastic player for not only Melbourne Storm, but for rugby league in general, and he's a fantastic guy. So I love Melbourne Storm. I love the government to get behind it, and you know, whether it's now or whether it's when he's retired, I'm not too sure, but I dare say there'll be one up of him one day.
Okay, mate. Well, I'm just saying, if you can't get one up of Cameron Smith, I'm pushing for a statue of Georgie Rose. He's next on the list. Always good to catch up with you, Kearnsy.
Good on you, boys. Love your work.
Yeah, good on you, mate. All the best, too, for the finals for
where
the mighty Melbourne Storm.
Come from?
I was just thinking. I was just trying to add a little bit of light and shade to
did
it.
Did he play for the Melbourne Storm?
He only played nine games, George Rose, for the Melbourne Storm, yeah. But he made a difference. And he played a few games, too, for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. But as you know, Gordy,
I think he started at the Roosters, did he?
I don't know where he started.
He played at Penrith for a while.
Yeah, I didn't want to make a whole Georgie Rose thing. It was just a little flippant comment I was making to add a little bit of light and shade to the whole thing.
I reckon Cameron will certainly... Cameron, Billy and JT will certainly have one at Suncorp,
yeah.
You would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, in all seriousness, it's got to be
dead set.
It's a great idea.
You've got a fake crowd up there, all the statue blokes putting to there. Isn't enough?
Wouldn't you love to have a player that has inspired a nation or a state that you could build a statue over?
Why would I love that?
He doesn't love anything. Why would he love that?
Yeah. Oh, no, he loves himself.
Oh!
Come on now. That's no need for that. That's getting...
Oh, you know I love you too.
That's below the belt.
Anyway, that was Robbie
Kearns. We've got a little romance happening.
From the Melbourne Storm. You can go to the Melbourne Storm website if you want to sign that petition, because I think it's a bloody good idea. 356 NRL games, 40-something Origin games, and still going. An absolute living legend of our game is Cameron Smith. Sunday, Triple M NRL, Triple M Rock in the finals for Brydens, and we are live at Allianz Stadium. Look, it's a beautiful afternoon. You need to bring your jumper, but I wouldn't think you'd need too much else. 4 o'clock kickoff today between the Sharkies and the North Queensland Cowboys. We've got the Raging Bull segment, which we'll do for you very shortly. We're just about to let the bull off the chain and see what he's got today. We'll follow that up. We'll talk about the Roosters-Broncos game. And Gordon Tallis on the selection panel of the Gold Coast Titans coach. You thought the Titans were in trouble before.
That's the funniest thing you've said.
Thank you very much.
You want a big pocket, you'll be picking your teeth up in a minute.
We'll take a break and come back with more right after this as Triple M rocks the
big
finals.
Pockets.
Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Say, hallelujah.
go. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Yeah, we've got a big game coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock for you on the Triple M Network. And, of course, it's the Cowboys up against the Sharkies. So lots of people will be travelling over the Captain Cook Bridge to get to this game today and watch the Shire's favourites, the Premiers, take on the Cowboys. So that's going to happen at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Dan will call that one for you across the Triple M Network. Hey, have you got the app yet? If you haven't, do it now, triplem.com.au. Thanks to Bryden's lawyers, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis and Anthony Maroon. It is time for this. So this is where we let Gordon off the chain. The raging bull, he just goes for his life. Most of the time it's rugby league. Sometimes it's not rugby league. Most of the time it's angry stuff. I know that you are angry today because somebody broke your golf putter. And
Could be angry at Lycra.
It could be, yeah. Hell yeah.
It should be angry
at Lycra. What about you?
Why is that? I know the Lycra's angry at him.
Yeah.
Why is that?
On that ad, that sports ad. Yeah. Now you come up here. Well, that's the day. Paul, that's the day. That's the day his diet went from a half a chicken to a full chicken.
Full chicken, yeah. No, it's the day after. We filmed the day after.
Yeah, well, it's filmed the day after.
I'm on a diet.
It got the better of me because I was drinking the green tea because I Googled what takes away bloating.
Yes.
So green then I Googled, yeah, and then, yeah, and a bit of green tea with some other, yeah, ginger and all that. So I'm in my green teas and you boys were, what are you doing? I said, I've got to get in Lycra tomorrow. So I'm trying to get away. Yeah, I mean, trying to lose a,
right.
Yeah, like an optical
illusion.
You're a
brave man getting in. Yeah, yeah. I mean, 40-year-old man getting in Lycra.
Have you? I know, but
I mean, some people do it every weekend.
That there is one of my raging bulls. I don't ride a bike, right? But if I did, I wouldn't be riding around looking like Lance Armstrong. And then they ride 5 minutes to their coffee shop and they sit there with all their freaking giggle berries hanging out. They look like little Kinder Surprises. They got all these little fat blokes sitting out the front of a coffee shop and they got their bikes there and they're proud as punch because they tell their missus that they're doing exercise, but they just ride down the coffee shop.
Yeah. I'm with you.
That's one thing that I get annoyed. And they
should encourage that.
You know, and then they ride right in the middle of the road.
Down to the coffee shop. I
think and if they don't pay registration, and if you don't pay your taxes, ride on the footpath or go on the bike path.
Ride on the footpath?
Don't ride in the middle of the road.
All right. So that's, is this one of your raging bulls?
I just made that.
What happened with the golfing putter?
Yesterday, so we had the kids and, you know, I was trying to do, and it was a driver, but I was, you know, trying to do the right thing. So we took the kids because I want to sit there and watch two games of footy. So you try to jam as much in. So we went and did a bit of 10-pin bowling, which was good. And, you know, you can't really break anything there. Well, you do. You try to break the pins and nothing. And then we thought we'd pull in and there's a little putt-putt at Moore Park and had the golf clubs in the back and going to hit a few balls on the driving range. And because it was a big lineup to play putt-putt, then go play putt-putt. And then my boys are hitting and they got their sets and then my partner, Gemma, thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to jump on and have a go. Which club do you use? So she wanted to use, like, the big driver, you know, so she pulled out the big...
What, a putt-putt?
No, because it's in the driving range before we were waiting to go to putt-putt.
Ah.
So then she's trying to hit. You know, they just put them up on that rubber thing and hit it off, and she swung my brand-new ping driver and broke the shaft.
Bedingham.
Yes. Oof,
there's so your girlfriend broke your shaft.
There's nothing worse than that.
The golf shaft.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse because the shaft and the head, it goes together and it's my favourite club. In golf terms.
Right.
In golf terms. And what happened was my favourite club now is broken.
All right, okay. Moving right along.
What are you laughing at?
Back to the golf,
all right.
Place.
Yeah. Now, okay.
So I need a new shaft.
Raging bull. Speaking of taking your chances, a big task today for the North Queensland Cowboys, Gordon.
Well, you can't come straight into that. Don't shaft me like that.
Look, it's going to be a big test for them today. They've been battling through the Cowboys. They finally got here. They got gifted a result last week when Canterbury rolled St George Illawarra. So I look, I don't give the Cowboys much hope today. I know
but no one gave Parramatta hope. No one gave Penrith hope.
Well, no one gave Brisbane hope. They lost.
Yeah, but they were very close.
They still lost.
All right. What about Paul Gallen? He's motivation for big games today.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's. You know, I don't know whether he does it on purpose, but he is fading. He's fantastic at promoting. Obviously, when he plays against Queensland sides, he's always got something to say about the crowd, their player, their forward pack, and
he was good.
And then Paul would know, you know, like obviously you don't want to give your opposition too much, but Paul's got a great ability when he's playing Queensland and State of Origin, and we all shut up, Bunker, and I was never going to say anything about New South Wales, but he has a go about Queensland and the two heads, and then now he's called the North Queensland Cowboys Sooks, or, you know, like they're, you know, whinging because they've got two players out, and that's all they've got. Well, they're two fair players out, and Matt Scott and Jonathan Thurston. But I love it because straight away there's a bit more passion come in for the Cowboys, and I think that if they can take all their opportunities today, because they've missed them, and then they can't afford, and it's any side in the final series, but I think the Cowboys are in with the shot today, because I don't think Cronulla are playing as good as what they are, Paul, and it's so hard to go back to back, and that's why no one has done it since 92-93.
Now,
yeah, you're right about that. It is very difficult, but I find
you can't turn it on and off.
Yeah, you can't, but you know what you can't do either? You can't replace Thurston and Scott. You've got one of the world's best front rowers, the world's best halfback out of the team, and you're taking on last year's premiers. There's not a lot of logic that would suggest that they're a chance. I just think that once you get to the pointy end of the competition like now, it starts to tell on you. Yeah. When you've got players who are sitting on the sideline.
I think the fact that the Graham and Bird come back in is a real shot in the arm that the Sharks need at the moment. I think they've really missed Jack Bird this year and what he brings to the team. And Wade Graham, when he limped off a couple of weeks ago, I thought that was his season over. And I thought, well, the Sharks can't definitely win the comp without him. And look, those two guys brought back into the side today, I think that's a big shot in the arm. But it's always been about discipline for the Sharks. Some of their statistics, boys, I mean, are really poor. Even though they finished fifth, you know, they had the worst, they were the most penalised team in the competition. They had the worst completion rate in the competition. They were challenged every week because they were the premiers, but they still found a way to get themselves into fifth
position. Well, because they're tough and they've... You know, and I reckon over the last 10 years, Cronulla have fought over bones and hasn't been too much meat. And then they've got a bit of Valentine Holmes and Maloney's come, so they've getting a bit more skill around the place. But I still, you know, there's still something not right about Cronulla's performance this year. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't put a side to the sword. Only Roosters that time, I think it was at Sunshine, I mean, up at the Central Coast.
Yep. Mm.
But I was waiting for them just to click. Because, you know, when the sides that win the comp, they normally have a 7 or 8 run, you know,
yeah, window over there where they're successful.
Yeah, and then people sort of drop off, and then they build enough up, and then they go away, and they change a few things, and they start training because they know that they can play like that. And I haven't seen that period from Cronulla this year.
Hey, what about this one? I love this one. This is Raging Bull. This is Gordon Tallis' segment. A lot of people think this year's premiership has already been decided, but you're saying perhaps not.
No, I don't think so. And I think it was shown last night. I think Parramatta pushed. Not like. It is the shortest price in the history on a TAB. Melbourne Storm are the shortest price. But the last side to be the short was Melbourne Storm when they lost 40-0. And I know that Cameron Smith was out, but they lost in week one too, I think, against the Warriors. So I think if Penrith get it right, I actually do believe that Penrith, if they get it right, they are the most naturally skillful footy team still in the competition. And it proved last night. No one gave them a chance against Manly. And then just with their footwork, their speed, and they still haven't played good. If you talk about a side that hasn't played good and hasn't gelled and hasn't done anything, well, that's Penrith.
Do you think Brisbane can win the comp?
I think so. I think
Darius. You think they can win the comp?
Well, I think Darius is the key.
Will he be available this week?
Well, they're saying it's touch and go. And then I did that Fox Sports, you know, with those little kids that were dressed up like the finals captains. I was in the Queen Street Mall with him last week, and then I thought he was going to be right. I actually thought that he heard it because the first rumour coming out of Brisbane was his hamstring's not that bad. He could have come back on and played in the second half. But I think as it cooled down more, the worse it got. So there's rumour that he mightn't even be right for this week's game against Penrith. Or next week's.
Okay, boys. This is Sunday Triple M NRL. It's thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. We've got Cronulla and Parramatta in the moment in one of the minor games. 3 minutes gone here.
20.
Nil all. So there were two Holden Cup games today here.
Yes, there were.
They didn't take one in Melbourne yesterday, Maroon.
Okay, thank you very much, Ryan. Parramatta and Cronulla are nil all in the 20s. And there's four just on 3 minutes gone in that game. That's all thanks to Tyre Power. Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Here is Ryan Girdler and Gordon Tallis talking about, as NRL players, what it means to play finals footy. Have a listen to this.
The thing I love about playing finals is it is a new ball game. It's the best of the best.
And they've been the most successful all year. They've been the grittiest. They've been the toughest.
Rugby league goes to the next level.
For me, it was just that pure excitement of turning up to the ground, knowing that you've waited all year to be able to go out and perform on the big stage, and all those other teams that haven't made it are watching.
I love everything about finals footy. I love the atmosphere. I love the excitement. The big teams playing in the big matches, and the fact that we're going to have one champion team doing that victory lap come the first week in October.
The difference between the finals and regular footy is firstly the speed, the intensity, the collision. Everything just seems to go to another level.
Well, it's do or die, so there's no tomorrow, there's no next week, there's no next month.
It's knockout footy. We see the stakes rise. We see players doing extraordinary things. We see players going that extra mile.
It's about this moment.
The intensity goes up, the crowd's pumped, everything just goes up, your senses are all heightened.
When we come to the big end of season games, there can be no tomorrow. A loss and your season is over, you can't make up for it next week, so you've just got to get the job done.
Everyone wants to be on grand final day. It's the most joyous occasion I've ever had in my life. That euphoric feeling you feel when you lift that cup and you know you've won the grand final is the best feeling you'll ever have as a man.
The nerves before a final game is something that you really have to control because you don't want to play your game before you run out.
In 09, I was very nervous because it was my first final series, but 2010, I'd sort of settled. So you sort of get really, really nervous. But once you're warming up, all the nerves have gone away because all the preparation's done. And there's nothing more you can do but do your job.
It was all about me making sure I was ready to go, and I was nervous and anxious, and I guess not knowing whether or not I could excel and do what I needed to do at that level.
There's a real special thing that I loved in rugby league. When you'd hear a knock on the door and there was the touch judges giving you the 2 minute warning, and I didn't get serious until I put my mouth guard in. So I'd go get the mouth guard out of the cup, and you look at the mouth guard, and then you're walking down the race, down the tunnel, and as soon as you hit the field and you hear the roar of the crowd, for me, I still had to keep my emotions there. But then when the ball got kicked off and I just put, and I'd bite down real hard on the mouth guard, and that first impact, that first hit, you just knew. You just knew what you were in for.
I always found the pain of losing outweighed the joy of winning, because when you lose, it is immediate. It's like getting hit by a brick wall. When you win, it's actually more about relief that you finally got the job done. It was all worthwhile, all the blood, sweat and tears. The celebrations and the joy actually comes later. With a loss, it's immediate.
So I only lost one big final. That was the prelim final in 2004 after we won it in 2003, and we were depleted, and without making too many excuses, I was bitterly disappointed, but we'd won the premiership the year before, and the elation you get from winning, the joy of winning a grand final, there's just nothing else like it.
There was one thing consistent about the joy of winning and losing. I cried after every season, and you're sort of not embarrassed. So you'd walk into the dressing room and you'd be sitting there and you're crying because you've lost, and you've been working since October. And then I suppose when you win grand finals, it's tears of joy because of how hard you've worked and the players that you're with, and for some reason the 17 that you ever run out on the grand final field with, you're never going to play again.
I felt that it was always my goal to win a competition. When we got beat in 1990, it was the worst feeling of my life as a sportsman. Fast forward 12 months later, we had the chance of redemption, and that redemption came in the form of beating the Raiders and winning our first ever competition in Penrith. And the jubilation was surreal. I almost fainted.
I lost a couple of times, but I never lost in a grand final, and I won a grand final. And winning is everything.
Box. Sunday Arvo Footy for Brighton's lawyers. Protecting your future. Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerd. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to Allianz Stadium. Big game today at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The loser is gone for 2017. Will it be the Sharks or the Cowboys? Right now, we had a doubleheader in Holden Cup. Manly won the first one. And right now, Cronulla 4, Parramatta 0, 11 gone in the second game. Those scores, as always, thanks to Tyre Power. The legal landscape can be confusing. See if you have a claim. Just ask the question at brightons.com.au. Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, Anthony Maroon in the chair today. And, of course, Friday night, we started off our final series here at Allianz Stadium with a great game between the Roosters and the Broncos. Again, this one had plenty of controversy. The Roosters looked to just have complete control of the game. Then all of a sudden, Benji tries to put on the 40-20. The ball gets sort of reefed back inside. Oates scores a try, and for like, it felt like 30 seconds, Broncos, it felt like the Broncos were in front, Gordon.
Yeah, it was. It was a real funny game. Obviously, the Roosters didn't take their opportunities. Boyd Gordon with the line wide open. Looked like a sniper got him. And then Latrell Mitchell drops the ball over the line. And, you know, there was a couple of plays. There was that telling play where Benji could have passed or kicked, you know, when he went on 3-on-2. And I think Benji showed a lot of maturity. And then Brisbane's last play options have been lacking, I think, the last 2 or 3 years. And his finishes are probably the best that the Broncos have looked. But Brisbane, really, without Darius Boyd and without attack, I thought that they might have struggled against the Roosters, but they showed that, you know, that they can get it right. I still would have played Milford at fullback. I would have played Milford. I don't know whether he loves the structure type of football. He was a natural fullback at the Raiders, and I thought that they made a sort of a positional mistake there, Brisbane, with their staff. But then I read in the paper today that Cody Nikorima didn't know until, you know, game that he wasn't going to play fullback. So
an unusual thing to do, wasn't it, to tell Meade day of the game that he's starting and Nikorima that he's not starting. And I agree with Gordon. I think if Wayne, I can't understand. Once he made the decision to go with Nikorima, and he sold the case that Nikorima had played fullback before, and if you go back 6-7 weeks when he did play fullback, and he did put in a pretty handy performance, and everything that Nikorima was going to bring to the side, you sort of, you know, once it was explained and justified, you thought, yeah, fair point.
Yeah.
To then make the decision game day to go with Meade, clearly Wayne was anticipating Nikorima getting bombed out of the game.
It's a Brian Smith ploy.
Yeah.
And he's trying to outsmart, you know, they.
Yeah.
You know, and
I tell you what,
he overthought the situation, Wayne. He had a young kid training all week in that position, and whether it was Milford or
which is Nikorima, very un-Wayne-like to do that.
You just got to go with it, and you got to back the players around him. And he's, you know, and then they had Kahu, and they can swing, and mate, you don't want to run. Some days you do your job better than others in a game, Paul, and then you got your teammates that come and help you. And I'm sure that he would have handled it, mate. He would have been so excited to get an opportunity to come here and be the Broncos fullback. And he trained there all week, and all of a sudden, somebody else, game day.
Do you reckon, Gordon, if you hadn't come out and said Milford, that Wayne might have gone with Milford?
100%. Absolutely, mate. I always have a joke with my mates, because like when I say it, right? Do you know, when I was playing, I said, Wayne, you need to put Berrigan, right, the year? I said, you need to put Berrigan in a hooker. Even when I was playing, he had to move Berrigan. No. Do you know what? In 2006, moved him there for the last 10 weeks, and they won.
Yeah. Yeah, but I just think that
he doesn't like advice, Wayne.
I know
he's got to come up with.
I know that a similar thing happened with Kevin Walters when he was coming in at one point as the halves coach last year, and everybody said, "Well, what's he going to do?" And I know Wayne actually rang Kevin and spoke to him about it, and Kevy then was agreeable to the idea, and then waited afterwards for the phone call to say when to start. But because you'd since gone on and been spouting, Kevy needs to come in. He knows how to get halves going and all the rest of it.
Lost Wayne, in his job.
Wayne changed his mind. So
yeah.
I'm just wondering whether you got him again, the old three-card trick. Get him pre-empt.
Mate, if I'm out playing Wayne Bennett, which I think that I do, it's embarrassing for him.
All right, boys. Cronulla 6, Parramatta 4 in
Holden. Mate, here we go. I'll tell you what, I'll text you when I say another thing, and it just never happens.
All right. Let's just go to Wayne Bennett at the press conference after the Roosters-Broncos game.
You watched it. It's pretty easy to see where it went wrong. Just full of mistakes and Are you surprised you're in the game a couple of months ago?
Yeah, I was actually, but you know, the only thing about the Broncos, they're brave. They don't give up. They're getting out play and they're playing well themselves, and you know, they won't give up. That was why they were still in the game.
What frustrated you most playing about today?
Oh, it was just our performance. Poor.
Six errors in the second half. 18
tackles
after the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was there for everybody to see, so I'm not going to relive it all again. But
when your positional change late in the arena?
Well, I just thought we'd take a bit of pressure off Cody. Yeah. That didn't affect us. That worked pretty good. So. Yeah.
Did you always plan to go that way?
Well, it was in the back of my mind.
Was the plan always after 20 minutes?
Wasn't that precise for something like that, yeah.
Why can you even call
that defensive effort? We'd be lucky to beat the teams that finished 15 and 16 with their extra night, so.
Adam, how disappointed are you?
Yeah, just disappointed, I guess. We weren't ourselves. We didn't play how we wanted to play. Said errors coming off our line let us down.
There they are at the press conference yesterday. Just to reiterate, my colleague Dan said yesterday, we just need to have a microphone so that we can hear the journalists ask the question for Wayne Bennett and I think it was Adam Blair, was it, to answer the questions. Yeah. And Dan blew up about it yesterday,
It's on the NRL.
What did Dan say?
A lot of people
want to
go. It's all right. Look, speaking as one of the print journalists to go to those press conferences, it's all right for Dan to sit there and get his questions, but I'm not there as a Telegraph journalist to look after Dan.
No, I know. I get that.
It shouldn't be my responsibility to make sure Dan gets his questions.
Well, how hard would it be to have a microphone there so we can hear the questions?
Because they put it on the NRL website. People look at it.
Yeah, well, that's the NRL's fault, but the NRL then should sit there because they have tried it with the microphone, turned into a disaster. I've sat there through them myself.
What happened to Happy Paul?
Yeah, I thought he was being too nice. He was being too nice today, wasn't he?
I hear that a lot, and I get the public service part, but by the same token, I see a lot of print journalists at press conferences leading the way, asking all their questions, and I think enough electronic media already sponge off the answers that they're now going to say to you, we'll give you the microphone as well to ask the question.
Yeah, but I don't. I think.
But that's where the gains come, because they're all public.
Well, give the journalists an earn then. Pay them $100 to ask the question.
They do, no, because if they were good looking enough, mate, they'd have a mic in their hand and they'd be doing the television.
Well, thank you, Gordon. I appreciate that.
I don't think it's a lot to ask, though, Paul, you know, just to have a microphone. So, you know, I mean, if we're allowed to play the press conferences, if we're allowed to play them, at least we can hear the questions. I mean, it sounds like, he went all right. I mean, it drives you mad after a while.
But why should the journo...
Well,
who's not getting paid by the electronic media, why should he have to wait?
Because they're all televised, Paul.
But it's not for his job.
It's not even his job. So there's
but
someone's
how
job.
How hard would it be for the NRL?
But he's getting answers off people that are paid by the NRL.
Well, that's, the NRL should sit there with a boom mic.
They should. That's what we're saying.
Invest in a boom mic.
They should.
And then when it sits at the journo, they can hover the boom mic over the journo when he asks the question.
And it's creating a job.
No, it's actually costing people a job. Because you know why?
Why?
The amount of times you see... I'll tell you why. Because some electronic media, particularly TV stations, won't even send a journo. They just send a cameraman because they know that the journalist... for the newspapers, will ask the questions. They'll then pick the eyes out of the answers,
mm-hmm.
and they
smart.
Run. So it's actually cost someone a job.
Do you need a hug?
No.
but don't most of them.
Do you work for one of those organisations?
Yeah, well, the good ones do.
Do you know what? I've got coffee with Greenberg through the week. I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
You have not.
Well, I have coffee with him every week.
You go to the same coffee shop.
A few ideas of him and just a few things that we might
together. You buy coffee in the same
ways that we can improve the game, and that might be one of them.
That little 50-metre rule doesn't work.
Yeah.
You just ignore that.
There's no way he drinks Mocha Kenya.
I go to Girdler's. Cronulla, Parramatta, 6-6, 20-gone Holden Cup, and that score is all thanks to Tyre Power. So, boys, the Broncos, now they face Penrith. Penrith come off a win. Broncos come off a loss.
Can I just say, I was at a press conference one day in Brisbane, and Channel 7 hadn't sent a journalist to the press conference. They just started to send their cameraman because the newspaper guys would ask the questions and they would take it. So Steve Ricketts, who was the Courier Mail writer at the time, has gone, he's gone, guys, we're not asking a question because we're costing another journalist a job here. Because Channel 7 won't even have the courtesy to send a reporter here. So we got to the press conference, and the Channel 7 reporter is looking around forlornly, puts the camera on, and he says, who's going to ask a question? And Rickett said, no one's asking a question. You want an answer, you're going to have to send a reporter. So Wayne walks in, and the cameraman says, Wayne, I'm going to ask you a question, and Ricketts, Wayne looked at him, Ricketts said, we're not going to ask questions while over they don't want to send a reporter, so we're going to, and Wayne goes, well, I don't want to be part of no demarcation dispute. So we sat there in this awkward silence for about a minute, no one asking a question. Finally, this cameraman just goes, Wayne, happy with the game? Wayne goes, that's the best question I've been asked in a long time. And then just shoots it all down because he then rambles on for 5 minutes and answers all the questions anyway. Yeah. So it was quite funny.
Well, it's nice to know we've hit a little bit of a raw nerve there with you, Kenny. And
you do it off of Maroon, don't worry.
Ooh.
Okay, now what? Okay, it's 6 points all. Cronulla about to score in Holden Cup, but is that it for the Broncos? They take a Penrith side who were gutsy here. They were gutsy last night, and there's going to be some Broncos players missing at Suncorp.
No, I'm going to have a bet with Gerds about that game.
It's far from being done for the Broncos. I reckon they're every chance. I reckon they will bounce back. To be honest, I think they'll get Penrith next time. I'm still to be convinced that they're
Griffin's
playing
well. A good record. Against Wayne.
Yeah, he might have, but he's got to go up there and win a tough game. The Broncos will get themselves ready for it. What do you think, Gertz?
Yeah, I think they're capable, Penrith, but Broncos will be up. It depends on, I think, Darius Boyd a lot too. They need him back. I mean, he just gives them so much with the football and defensively. So if he's in, I think Brisbane will get the cash. If he's out, I think Penrith are a much bigger chance.
Okay, Gold Coast Titans selection panel for the coach. Our very own Gordon Tallis is on that selection committee. We're going to talk about that after 2 o'clock this afternoon. But a win there for the Roosters over the Broncos at Allianz Stadium on Friday night to kick off the finals. If you missed it, here are Dan and the boys with the highlights of that game.
Thanks to Cbus, whether you're on the tools or in the office, Cbus is built to last. Triple M NRL highlights.
The arm is raised. The 2017 NRL finals begin. Right upright, 2 metres out. Friend, beautiful pass out to Guerra, and there's no one near him. It's a Roosters try. That pass out of dummy halfway Friend, picked up by Pierce. Pierce straightens, then he underarms it back to Cordner. Cordner looks for an opening, pushes away from Guerra. He throws to the right to Marshall. He grubbers. He finds the end goal. Jimmy Roberts got there first. That's a beauty of a try for the Broncos. Here they go down to the right. Friend to Pierce. Deep pass to Keary. Keary pins his back. Goes straight through and scores. They come to the left. As it goes through the hands, here's Milford. Milford away to Nikarima. Trouble. Nikarima holds a pass to Oates. Oates is over. Big play, McGuire, dummy half. Away to Hunt, rolls the kick, in the end goal. The chase is on. Hunt got there. Game off. It'll go upstairs. But what an individual play. Comes to Benji, and he just ventures outside his 40 before putting boot to ball. Oh, it's a good kick. It's a good kick. Ferguson, he taps it straight back in. Oh. It's a try. Corey Oates, the race, and scores. And Brisbane are in front. Play the free. Close to the left of the U. He started this for the Roosters. Now to Pierce. Pierce to Keary. Keary on to Mitchell. But he gives a big donut again. And extends inside the fullback. And it starts over the punch. Roosters win in one of the all-time great NRL semi-finals. 24-22. Where will you get drama like that?
Triple M Rocks, Sunday Arvo Footy, for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.